This is Brother Hanson from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of Jeremiah. We've been studying in this book for 2 or 3 weeks now, and we're at the 14th chapter and about verse 10, if you'd like to read along. Let's get right into our study. It's been such a good study in Jeremiah. I think that we just learn every single time we get into this study, we learn something new, because God is a God that expounds on His Word, gives us more and more supernatural knowledge every time we open the book of the Word of the Lord. I enjoy this book so much, and I hope you are too, because it's a powerful, powerful book. Let's get right into our study and begin. Let's begin reading with verse 10. Thus says the Lord to the people, even so they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. They love to wander. Where do they wander? They wander backslidden, in a backslidden condition. They go backwards. They wander around committing sin. They can't keep their feet going the right direction. And have you ever run into somebody like this, just couldn't get their life in order? Always wandering into the ditch, always going the wrong way, and never really following God. That's a horrible place to be, isn't it? When you can't follow God, you just follow your own feet, and your own feet are nothing more than the flesh. The flesh, and you follow the flesh, and they lead you, you know, you follow your feet, you follow the flesh, they're just going to lead you downhill. They're going to lead you downhill, and you're going to have trouble. So get ready for trouble. If you don't want to go downhill into a ditch, then change your way of thinking, because your way of thinking is not going to get you anything good. Because a man, when he does things that he thinks is right, a man always does what he thinks is right. And if he does that, he's going to do the wrong thing. You've got to do what thus says the Lord. What does God think about it? How does God fit into the picture? Does he have anything to do with your way of thinking? You know, this is what you have to really put into perspective. Because if you continue to do what's right in your own mind, it will get you into trouble every single time. Thus says the Lord to this people, they have loved to wander, they have not kept their feet in check. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. I'll tell you, none of us want God to call our sins to account. Nobody in their right mind would ever want their sins to be called out, called to account. Because this would put us all in hell. This is why we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to wash these things away. There is nothing outside of the blood of Christ that can truly wash our sins away. Nothing. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good works. You can't do enough for God. You think you can, but you're not. You're not going to, because it's impossible to do enough to cancel out any sin, really. So the Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. You know, now that's something different, isn't it? Don't pray for these people. When does God give up on a people? When does he just give them up? Do we know? Well, he told Paul to pray for the destruction of the flesh for some of those that were committing adultery with their own mother or their own, some of their own married in mother or whatever, mother-in-law. They were told to turn them over to the devil. Turn them over to the devil. Let Satan destroy their flesh in order for them to repent. Now, that's pretty serious, in my opinion. If God is going that to that extent, at least they're still praying for them. At least there's still hope. But in this case, with Jeremiah, there was no hope. Don't even pray for them anymore. Do not pray for them. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. Their mind has been contaminated, corrupted, influenced by Satan to the point where there's no hope any longer. Is there a point in time when this will happen, when this happens? And will we know it? I would hope so. But will we? I don't know. This is a good question, folks. If we know when this point happens, we might be able to stop it, or we might be able to repent. But some people, I think that it just gets to the point where you lose consciousness of sin. You lose consciousness of what you're doing. And there is no hope. It gets to the point where you can't even feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit any longer. Can't feel it. It's gone. It's all gone. And this is what usually happens. The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Don't even pray for them any longer. When they fast, I'm not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I'm not going to accept them. Rather, I am going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. I'm going to make an end of these people. This is a sad point in time. When God gives over these people to a reprobate mind, to reprobate thinking, how far can you go if you're going to the point of killing little babies and transgendering little children when they're in their infancy almost? I mean, when you start transgendering a little baby, I don't think you can get any worse. When you offend one of these little ones, it's better than a millstone be tied around your neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these, Jesus said. And I agree with him. When does he give up people? I'll tell you what, we're getting pretty close. If we're not there, folks, we're getting close to being given up. That may scare you. You say, oh, Jesus always has forgiveness. He always will forgive. He always. Well, I'm telling you, the book of the Revelation contains a lot of judgment. a lot of bad things that are about to happen as a result of what's going on right this minute. Not next week, not next year, but right now. These things are happening, folks. I believe that this last administration went over and crossed the line, started teaching little children homosexual acts and homosexual things, and started putting things in school books for little children to be corrupted and take their innocence away. I don't think you can get any worse than this. I really don't. I don't think you can get any worse than some of the things that they've been doing to these little children. And I believe we've, in a lot of cases, crossed over the line. You say, well, Brother Hansen, what are we going to do? Well, repent. Repent, repent, repent. Ask God to forgive us and have mercy on us. And hopefully he'll receive our petition to forgive us and give us another chance. This is what I recommend. Let's read on. This, well, you know, this, when they fast, I'm not going to hear them. I'm not going to hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering, grain offering, I'm not going to accept them. Rather, I'm going to make an end to them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. This is the worst of the worst of the worst. I'm going to make an end to these people by the sword, famine, and pestilence. But, oh, Lord, God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. They kept preaching the prosperity message regardless of the condition of the people of that day. And you can look it up. If you don't believe me, they were preaching the prosperity message back there in Jeremiah's day. And they kept preaching it on up to the day that Nebuchadnezzar came in and took the people, killed the people, took some of them into captivity, and killed a lot of people, and just destroyed the temple, did all kinds of havoc. And I'm telling you, folks, this kind of thing, you can fall asleep at the wheel and you can think you're not going to run off the road, but sooner or later you will. Sooner or later, you're going to swerve. You're going to run off. We all have to be in a place of repentance. That is the healthiest place that we could be right now, is repentance. And preaching repentance to everyone that we see. Because if we condone it, we're guilty of it. That's why the prophets, when they prayed, they prayed and repented as if they were the ones that were committing the sin. They were true intercessors. Oh, they didn't say, oh, I didn't do it. Well, I'm glad I'm... No. When they prayed as though they were the ones that were committing the sin. They were true intercessors. And that was what makes a prophet. A true intercessor is one that asks and seeks forgiveness for the people, on behalf of the people, on behalf of yourself, and repents as if they are the ones that are guilty. Every one of us are guilty. And every one of us should bear the pain of what's about to take place. Because, you know, you might think, oh, I'm glad I'm a good boy or a good girl. No. It's going to get rough. And the rough start interceding. Those that intercede, pray, and repent as if you're the one that's guilty on behalf of everyone. That's where we should be. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us, cleanse us, come into our hearts, cover us with your blood. Oh God, have mercy on our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go to our website, krciradio.com, krciradio.com. Everything's uploaded there. Should be pretty quick. And shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.